You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So over the past few days, we've seen updates over in Australia when it comes to the relationship between Facebook and the Australian government and how news is shared to the public, with a huge portion of the Australian public receiving their news through platforms such as Facebook, Twitter and Google. The moves by the Australian government to make these platforms pay for news is a big one. It's a world first, and it's one that we're sort of seeing evolving and potentially seeing other countries sort of take on. So to understand more about this situation, I talked to Richard Pamatato, who is a journalism lecturer at AUT. I did talk to him previously, which I'll link in our BCast. When we talked to him about the situation before all of this unraveled, and now this is an update on this situation. Here's Richard.
The Australian government has proposed these media laws that will force Facebook to pay for some content, and obviously Facebook has had a bad reaction to that, and it has acted by banning Australian media content from the platform. So this is a very big move by Facebook because it does not want that media bargaining code to be enacted, because that will force not only Facebook but also Google to negotiate with news providers for the right to link to their content. So it's a very bold move by the Australian government, and it's a very, very strong pushback by Facebook. But what is really interesting is that the move by Facebook is actually is galvanising governments around the world. So we saw earlier today that the head of Britain's really powerful Digital Culture and Media Committee has said that, well, he's called it an Australian blackout, but he's also expecting there to be a backlash, and he has said Facebook needs to be brought to heel and pay for UK news if it's going to try it there. So we are seeing a lot of tossing that's going on. It is going to be a very big issue, and there's a hashtag now trending, which is delete Facebook. I would say Facebook doesn't want that.
Is this the reaction that anyone was expecting at all?
What I'd argue is that people, the users, the customers, those of us who use Facebook as a tool, use it for a number of reasons. It's a way of keeping in touch. It's a way of finding out stuff that you might not otherwise have access to. And I'd argue that Facebook is going to face quite a big backlash from people who are going to say, do not do this. You have the gift of my eyeballs and you make money out of it. You need to, in return, reciprocate and provide content. And maybe you do need to rethink your model with how you get that content. And Facebook is really powerful, and it does risk this whole idea of being called a big tech bully. Now, the conservatives in America are playing a game where they're talking about big tech overreaching. I think people themselves might actually think, actually, this is not a fair deal, and people won't like it. People don't like that kind of thing.
So it's been reported that not only news outlets have been removed, but also other outlets such as universities, fire departments, city councils. There's a huge list of different places where they've had either their profiles removed or their news removed. What danger does this pose?
Well, that's a really dangerous thing to remove, you know, the fire department, government departments, a hospital, etc. And that's where Facebook, again, has overreached, because we have been told in the digital age, go to the website for the latest news on what might be happening, say, around a fire. That's how people do a lot of their business now. And Facebook's action there is really unproductive, it's unhelpful, and also it's unethical. So Facebook needs to really take a look at what it does. We saw, and we are still seeing, how it's allowing fake material to be there. So it does need to rethink that. And businesses, organisations, governments rely on Facebook as a primary communication tool, now that traditional media like newspapers are less able to reach into the homes of people. People are used to getting material from their phone, from a device in their hand. So this move by Facebook is very serious, but equally, it's really important and gratifying to see that government is pushing back. And the Australian government, I would argue, is not going to take this lying down. They are going to push Facebook around, and that really needs to happen.
Yeah, I was going to say, I imagine we haven't seen the end of this, have we? We're going to see more tussles between Facebook and the Australian government.
It's going to go on and on and on. But already, that's why the Australian government needs to be resolved to sticking in there. The British government, I think, is going to come in behind them. And people are now starting to say that if it's not clear to people, Facebook is not compatible with democracy. There's some Twitter stuff going on around that. And as citizens, we cannot allow Facebook to bring a country or a series of organisations to their knees. So perhaps we're at fault for allowing Facebook to have so much power. But at the same time, this isn't something that's going to be solved overnight. Facebook is a very big, very powerful company. If you look at the numbers of people who are on Facebook, you know, it's like a big country in itself, but that's also where the power goes. If people say, I'm not putting up with this and I'll delete Facebook or I'll move off it as a platform, then Facebook is going to face some risk there as well.
Okay, so not only Facebook is involved in all this, but Google. And seeing as Facebook has almost gone about this so casually and nonchalantly, they've sort of just said, like, look, we're going to ban everything. What does this mean for Google? Do you think Google's going to go down the same path, or are they going to sort of watch this all play out before they start making some moves?
Google appears to be watching and letting Facebook do letting Facebook be the leader in what it sees as the way to go. But there are other options out there. So there's Bing. Maybe this will see Bing come to the fore a little bit more and provide an opportunity for some competition to Google. Google has to be careful because, again, there will be alternatives. And often when there is this kind of disruption, new platforms emerge. So that's something that also maybe some tech people are thinking, I'll let Facebook muck around and do this. I'll let Google do what it's going to do. But by the way, here's my new platform. I think we might also see something new emerging from this.
And for specifically Australians, what should they be doing to make sure that they are getting the right news and aren't being fed misinformation, seeing as, well, now one of their major forms of communication is being hindered?
Well, the other thing that this kind of speaks to is the reliance on a platform like Facebook for news. It is time, people, for Australians, for New Zealanders, to go back to the source of the material. So that means, in the Australian context, the ABC, the Sydney Morning Herald, the Melbourne Age. Australian media companies need to be supported directly by people subscribing, going to their website or their app, rather than going through an intermediary like Facebook. And the same thing applies in New Zealand. If you want really good news here, don't rely on Facebook as the arbiter or the curator. Go to Radio New Zealand, go to BFM, go to News Talk, go to Stuff, go to New Zealand Herald, go to interest.co.nz, go to any of the new platforms that are emerging, like Newsroom or any of those new things that people are creating. That's the important thing, is to search for news at the source rather than relying on Facebook or, for that matter, Google to curate for you.
Okay, are there any other comments you'd like to make?
What I think is really interesting is this is a watershed moment for journalism and media production and consumption. And it's up to all of us to become much more savvy about how we consume our media. And we have been used to getting stuff for nothing through the internet. Maybe we need to all dip into our pockets and pay for a subscription to media organisations that are supplying us. in the same way that not one of us would expect to go to our favourite cafe and get a double shot flat white and nothing. You know, you do need to pay for the stuff you consume.
That was Richard Pumatoto, an AUT journalism lecturer, talking about the situation between Facebook and the Australian government, asking them to pay news organisations for the news that they put on their platform. So I think there's a lot to take away from that, as he sort of said. Make sure you're supporting New Zealand journalism. Go to their website instead of going through Facebook or any other sort of platform. Make sure that you're subscribing to news. There's a lot of different platforms in Aotearoa that have subscription-based, primarily. I mean, the BFM B card, you're supporting all of us by joining that. The spin-off has a subscription way of going about it, sort of stuff. NZ Herald, they all have it, and you will access it, better quality news for it. Now, we did have a text sort of going over the situation and how it has arrived at the same time as a rape issue in the Australian government and politics. And I think, well, I don't know much about the situation. Do you know anything about it, Lyric?
Are they talking about the media companies that got into a bit of trouble for, I think they named someone without having permission to name someone?
Yeah, I don't know, but I think it's a very interesting question to raise around the timing of things in politics and how sometimes one issue can be used to overlap another so that the other one sort of gets downplayed a bit. It's definitely been seen in American politics time and time again.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.